Happy New Year to you. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, January the 9th. I know the new year is more than a week old, but I was off last week enjoying a staycation, and the show that we usually produce on the first Monday of each month during this 8 o'clock hour, Mondays with Mike, was also off last week for the holiday. So here we are, back and refreshed and ready to start a new year. Maybe you have a New Year's resolution or suggestion for Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, today. What can Wisconsin Public Radio do to improve its service to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike Crane is Wisconsin Public Radio's director, and he's here to share some news with you and to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Mike, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So did you make a New Year's resolution for Wisconsin Public Radio?
I did, actually. But, you know, as such things go, we'll see how it works. Sort of like, we'll try to lose weight. That never seems to work.
Yeah, I gained.
I have been to the Y more, but that's not WPR. You asked about that. I would say one of the things we're most focused on, and it actually comes up a lot in the listener comments too, about concerns about our current website. Now, it's an incredibly powerful website with archives and all kinds of things that you can find out and look up and so on, but it's also really hard to get through. Things aren't in an obvious place, that sort of thing. So one of our big New Year's resolutions is to follow on with the big changes with the ttbook.org website, with changes to the WPR News website, and eventually to the whole suite of WPR websites. Notmuch.com, which is the site that goes with Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? That's the next one that's on the list to be relaunched, if you will, and we're going to work through more and more because we know that the web is very, very important. In fact, there was a listener comment that was in our collection of things we were looking at for this show mentioning, well, why would WPR give away an iPad instead of a radio? And the answer is because an iPad is what people really want. And in our case, we know that it's also where increasingly people are using the radio. We even saw a couple of years ago that our streams, the online audio, now receive more listening than some of our stations. So it's a very important part of getting the WPR service out, and refreshing our websites is a big part of that.
Yes, that was a listener comment who heard during our end of the year one day pledge drive that we were giving away an iPad, having a sweepstakes. How did that drive go, Mike? It didn't make the 4,000 pledges in one day. Is that going to have a serious budget implication for us?
I don't think so. I haven't had the opportunity yet. We're sort of closing the books on December in the next week or so, and so I'll have a clearer idea of how the whole month went. But the one-day campaign itself fell short of our goal, which was 4,000 pledges. We received about 2,500. However, it was a bigger total dollar amount than the year before in December when we did that mini micro 3-hour drive. I think conditions really changed in a year. It's something we're going to think about in terms of our plans. But our pledge work is year-round, and we do lots of things off-air, you know, mail and that sort of thing, email as well. And so we'll look at the December one-day drive in the overall context.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know that the dollar amount was more than last year. That's nice to know. We did have a listener comments about poor web design, website design. The colors and layout of your website are distracting. It lacks appeal, and wanted something to be done about that. So with your New Year's resolution, something is going to be done about that?
That is the plan. Here's the challenge. The website, as I say, is very powerful, but it was also designed 10 years ago. And so what we're finding that you have to do is, because it is so powerful, in fact, it's one of the most used websites in public media, you have to keep updating it and making it better while you're also working on a redesign. And so we'll be doing, for the foreseeable future, we'll be doing both until we're able to have a new design in place and then finally retire the current one. A good example of that, Joy, is that when I was looking at the website, say, a year ago, the news stories were kind of hard to find, and right now they're not. We've changed it so that the news stories are front and center of the website, and you can even, if you click the T for text that's on there at WPR.org, you can read it right there. And that's a significant improvement, and we're trying to do things like that throughout.
I use that all the time. Thanks for doing that. news on the northern Wisconsin front, that the Shawamigan project, the Ashland station, the fundraising is over and it was a success?
It really was. We called that the Shawamigan Connection, and it was making it possible with this new station that's on right now at 90.9 FM in Ashland to have WPR available to another 40,000 citizens of Wisconsin. And of course, not all of them are listening. That's okay, but more are able to and more do. And we had a campaign to raise $85,000 as WPR's match for a federal grant we got to build the station. And we had a wonderful challenge from the Mary H. Rice Foundation and also a big gift from the Bremer Foundation and more than 100 individuals and families that gave to that campaign. And the challenge from the Rice Foundation was such that the deadline was December 31st to raise all of the dollars needed to trigger the final $5,000 sort of bonus challenge of that. And it all worked out a couple of weeks ahead of time. Very exciting and also just terrific to be on the air with another station as part of the WPR network.
This is a New Year's edition of Mondays with Mike. It's the first time in 2012. I think that's the first time I've said 2012 out loud.
Have you written it in your check?
That's I did once, yeah, but I had to pause there. First time in 2012 when we are joined by Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and the first time that we open the lines to hear from you, whether or not you have questions about Wisconsin Public Radio, anything about programming or technical issues or the website or anything. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What do you want from Wisconsin Public Radio in the new year? How can we improve our service to you? It's a chance for you, if you would like, to make a New Year's resolution for Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, Mike, this is going to be another busy year in terms of covering politics for Wisconsin Public Radio.
You
we
think?
Have we have lots of special programming as well coming up just this month.
Yeah, that's right. They've got the New Hampshire primary, the first in the nation primary. Of course, we had Iowa coverage in the last week or so. And we've said numerous times, this is the year of elections. Not only will we have the usual and incredible to follow national elections, but we have the possibility of some recall elections to follow. We'll see, you know, is that good or bad? You had some great discussion in the last hour about Governor Walker and so on. So that's a part of that coverage. And we have a state primary. We have the presidential primary here in the state. We have the spring elections. It's just going to be an amazing
all year long. And just this month, we have tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, National Public Radio or NPR's live coverage of the New Hampshire primaries will be heard on the Ideas Network. And then the following morning, we will certainly do some wrap-up on this show, probably for a couple of hours, talk about the results and the meaning of those results. And I'm sure that we'll hear more from Kathleen and Ben as well. And also coming up, a special on January the 16th, the Martin Luther King Day special is going on.
Yeah, it's really something as a source of pride. Our own Jonathan Overby is the key organizer with quite a team surrounding him, of course. But this is the 32nd annual tribute and ceremony honoring Dr. King, and we'll be broadcasting it live. It also is something that we do with Wisconsin Public Television, live from the state capitol. And I plan to be there and to enjoy the incredible music and the speeches and so on. And we hope people will join us on the radio, if not in person, at the Capitol.
You know, speaking of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television collaboration, there is Wisconsin Public Radio is on Wisconsin Public Television these days?
A little bit, yes. There's a really neat thing that we did a little while ago as part of the Wisconsin Science Festival. And that was a performance of a live radio drama that was at the Wisconsin Institutes of Discovery, and members of the University Theater and Forward Theater worked with us for this whole production that included H.G. Wells' Time Machine. I had, you know, and everybody knows about H.G. Wells, but if we know anything, we usually know about The War of the Worlds. And The Time Machine was another of his speculative or science fiction stories that really came alive as a radio broadcast. But you can also watch it online now on the WPT website. And it's part of their University Place series. I'm looking at it right here now. It says old-time radio drama, The Time Machine. And you can look at WPT.org and their University Place section or the video section there to find it. Or if you can't find it, just get in touch with Audience Services and they can send you a link.
We have some personnel changes coming up. Longtime talk show host Jean Faraca has announced her retirement.
Yeah, she has. It's one of those things you just sort of don't believe it when it happens. Jean has been so much a part of defining the sound of the Ideas Network, first with her morning show and then later with Here on Earth and a couple of different versions of that. And we are really going to miss her. She'll be around for a couple more months. Then she'll be gone. And she prepared a beautiful essay that she shared on the radio and that we also put in our Radio Waves e-newsletter that talked about how basically listeners helped her to, as she put it, become bigger. You know, everybody that's on the radio gets this. You're taller on the radio. You're bigger on the radio, that kind of thing. And so she bounced off of that kind of fun idea to talk about how our interaction with our listeners is what makes the Ideas Network. And our guests tell us that all the time, that they have a remarkable experience being on the Ideas Network. So yes, Jean, we will miss you terribly. We are excited for her because she wants to retire. You know, this is a good moment in her life. She's excited about it. And you're irreplaceable, Jean.
Yeah, absolutely. Jean will be missed. She's been doing this for probably close to 30 years now, hasn't
she? That's
right. We do have a listener who wrote, "I am sorry to hear Jean Faraca is retiring. I would love to hear her again on specials from time to time. What are the future plans for Wisconsin Public Radio and perhaps that time slot that Jean is in, Mike?"
Well, as far as specials first, never say never, but I think Jean's going to want to enjoy retirement mm-hmm. for a bit before we see that. Sometimes, like Tom Clark, you know, Tom ended up continuing with us. Not doing the morning show anymore, but he does Zorba mm-hmm. Pastor on Your Health and has done so for many years. So he didn't exactly leave us, thank goodness. And so who knows what will happen with Jean there. As for the time slot, there's a kind of a related piece. It's not news yet because we're working on this, and that is that we're hiring a new associate director. And that's the person who will be responsible for our programming schedule, that sort of thing. And she or he will work with us to decide exactly what happens in that time slot. We're hoping to have that person hired in the next month or two. And so we're trying to figure that out. But rest assured, it won't be Jean. And that means that we'll have to find something else remarkable to do in that time.
Speaking of personnel, we have Jean retiring and leaving sometime in March, and we have a new assistant news director. Who is this?
This is Noah Oshimsky, and we're very excited about Noah. He's not only someone who has been a mentor, which is important because the assistant news director is an editor for the other news people, but also because they provide guidance to the Lee Esther Fellow, which is a really wonderful program we have honoring longtime Wisconsin journalist Lee Esther. And it's a 9-month fellowship that is for early career reporters to gain some real experience working in one of the big newsrooms in public radio. And so we look forward to that, and Noah will be guiding that, and he'll be heard sometimes as a substitute on Morning Edition or All Things Considered on the other WPR network.
And I'm looking forward to meeting him. I think he started last week when I was gone. So
he did, and he ended up being in charge right away, too, because news director Michael Leland needed to be out for a bit.
That's what we like, sink or swim, and he did swim, I'm sure. We are talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, as we do once a month, to hear what is new, to hear what is in the works, to hear what you want to hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up tomorrow at this time, it's another edition of On Your Money. Certified financial planner Kevin McKinley will be here with some great money-saving tips and answers to your personal finance questions. That's On Your Money tomorrow, every Tuesday, from 8 until 9. Right now, talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, Mike, I was at a holiday party over my staycation, and my husband's one of my husband's co-workers said, "Is Kevin McKinley as funny in person as he is on the air?" And everywhere I go, people comment on Kevin McKinley and how much they enjoy that show. That was a good move on your part to make that a weekly show.
Your part actually.
you approved this idea.
Yes, mm-hmm. My experience is Kevin is very funny in person and on the radio, and you know, you can get wrong that whole sort of self-deprecation thing that he does, but he's able to poke fun at himself in a way that really it helps you like him, I think.
Yeah, I do too. Let's go to the phone. Shelley in Dubuque, Iowa is with us. Hello, Shelley.
Hey, I just wanted to hit on the iPad. You know, we've always been an NPR family, but we've become an Apple family. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I would like to encourage folks to do if they don't have an iPad is, try it. And what you can do, which we love NPR, so you can basically Google NPR and put in APP, hit search, and it will bring up an NPR app. And you can look up Highland, Wisconsin, and you can get a little speaker that plugs into it, listen to the radio. It's just fabulous. We just love it.
Good idea.
Oh. Yeah, that's terrific. And that's right, the iPad app, and in fact, even just the regular NPR.org, is set up so that you can connect it to Wisconsin Public Radio. And you just have to go through a couple of clicks to do that. Or you can find us, of course, at WPR.org as well. But we don't have an iPad app at this point. We are working on mobile apps. That's one of the many things that are on our New Year's resolution list for the web.
And
thanks, Shelley.
All right. Thanks very much, Shelley, for the call. I was in Dubuque, Iowa during my staycation. We checked out the National Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium. That was cool.
It's a terrific museum. Did you make it on the funicular, though?
What is the funicular? I guess not.
It may be not open in the winter. I don't know. But there's this wonderful, very brief ride up the hill. On a tiny, you'd call it a train, I guess, or a...
Oh, cool. No, I didn't make that.
So go back to Dubuque and do that in the summer.
Do that in the summer.
A lot of fun.
Ed in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Ed.
Hello. I wonder if your guest could give us some more specifics about the source of supply for the new radios that feature classical music.
Ah, yes. The source of supply for HD radios, so that in Milwaukee you can get our secondary channel. It would be WHAD HD2 is the name of it, and that's a 24-hour-a-day classical music service. There are not a ton of those radios available in retailers because they still seem to be sort of a specialty item. Some people have told us they found it in Best Buy or in one of the local retailers. And I know that our colleagues in Milwaukee specifically have been able to help some listeners to find that. So again, you could get in touch with Audience Services to connect with our Milwaukee folks and get details about a local retailer. The other option is there are HD radios that are for sale either at the NPR shop at npr.org, or at Amazon. And they're worth trying out. They're not that expensive anymore, and there are a bunch of different options for under $100 to get that. And then the very nice thing is you get extra channels, and WPR is one of them. There are other channels that other stations are putting out that allow you to get more radio.
Good luck with that, Ed. Thanks for the call. A listener who listens to WHAD in the Milwaukee area writes, I live near the lake in Milwaukee, and I've had trouble receiving WHAD for the last couple of days. Is the WHAD antenna pointing in the right direction?
It sure is. I mean, it's always possible that there's a change, but I would say that it hasn't changed that we know of. In fact, with all the mild weather, one of the most common issues, which is that ice on the tower causes a problem, hasn't been a big problem this winter. Here is the thing, though. When you live in Milwaukee near the lake, first of all, you're pretty far from the transmitter, which is in Delafield, and so that can be an issue. And specifically, we talk about this a lot, that there's a ridge right there. And if you're a little bit below the ridge, or if possibly that big set of towers that's there on the east side interferes with your listening, then you will have some trouble with the WHAD signal. If you're at home or maybe with a mobile device, you might try listening to our Ideas Network stream online at WPR.org as well.
Well, yeah, we have another listener who contacted Audience Services. Can you listen to WPR online as if you were listening to it like a regular radio?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it's not regular in the sense that it's tied to whatever device you have. It might be an iPad or an Android phone or your desktop computer or laptop. But then, yeah, you can hear it in the speakers. And there are even some radios that are sold that are internet radios. I haven't tried one out, so I don't know a lot about those. I do want to mention, though, before I lose track of this, that on our Milwaukee page of our website, which is wpr.org/regions/MKE, like the airport signals, there are listed, as of December 1st, 2001, the following local retailers have HD radios: AES Milwaukee on Good Hope Road, and American TV on Brown Deer in Brown Deer, and then American TV on Westwood Drive in Waukesha all have the HD radios as of December 1st when we last checked. So you can look for HD radios to try out locally in those locations, or check out the radios online.
We have one open line for you. If you have a question for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, or if you have some feedback you'd like to share, or maybe a New Year's resolution that you would like Wisconsin Public Radio to adopt to improve our service to you, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Coming up a little later this month, Mike, we have a couple of special programming notes here. We have the State of the Union and the State of the State. So one after the other, January the 24th and the 25th.
Yeah, we like to have those sort of large event kind of speeches on the air. And of course, we've mentioned already lots of election coverage throughout the season. And it's part of what we try to do to reflect what interests citizens.
You know, speaking of the election, listeners will be hearing a different voice on NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday. And I believe this is because the regular host is taking a hiatus while her husband works on President Obama's campaign.
That's right. And so Rachel Martin is actually, it's the regular host on All Things Considered, Michelle Norris.
That's right.
And so the normal host for Weekend Edition Sunday is moving to the weekdays, and Rachel's stepping in. She was in just yesterday playing the puzzle with Will Shortz and all the rest.
Our next caller is Sharon Beloit. Hello, Sharon.
Hello. I just recently discovered public radio, and I love it. I work lots of hours, and so I only get to listen sporadically. I listened to the one-day fun drive, or whatever it was called, and I kept waiting. I mean, what I heard is, please send. It doesn't matter how much you send. It doesn't matter if you send 50 or 100 or 150 or $10 a month. Well, unfortunately, all as I could have sent was $10, not $10 a month, $10.
Uh-huh.
And I got the definite impression that you know, I kept waiting for someone to say, it doesn't matter even if you give as little as $5 or $10. And I never heard that, so I didn't call in because I thought there was probably, like, and I guess I'm just wondering, is there some kind of a limit on how much you give? I was just confused.
Oh, very sorry about that, Sharon. Thank you for tuning in and becoming a fan. That's terrific. And the answer is that you're a member if you give anything. And so that could be a dollar if that's what works for you. And we have the complete range of gifts. And that's probably something we need to say more often on our pledge drives. But it really is true. In fact, we used to raise our we used to talk about the dollars a lot more on our pledge drives. How many dollars have we raised and so on. And the insight was that we really can trust that the dollars will be there, but that it's the participation that matters. So I hope either right now, if you wanted to, online at WPR.org or the next pledge drive, which I think is in mid-March or so, and when that comes up, please do get in touch with us and make a contribution of any amount, because it really the fact that we're connected with you and can send an email to let you know what's going on if you'd like that and so on, that's really what counts.
Thank you so much for the call, and we'll be sure to mention that more on air. We used to have a pledge drive in February, Mike, but we're doing it in March this year.
Yeah, we've shifted things around a bit, in part to, I think, separate from that December campaign. I sometimes it's the mysteries of the calendar to me, but I know that's what we figured out is the right time.
Next, we go to Ron in Manitowoc. Hello, Ron.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
I'm concerned about the quality of Wisconsin Public Radio. It appears that there's more talk on the Music and Arts Network and more music on the Informational Network. Norman Gilliland is promoting the quiz question an hour before, and then the quiz answer, et cetera. And such programs as this one have musical introductions, and during the McKinley show on Tuesday, we have musical selections to introduce the different segments. Another area of concern is recordings of people yelling during newscasts. Last year, it started at Dallas, moved over to Green Bay, then extended period in Madison.
Ron, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that. Recordings of people yelling during the newscasts.
Just that, Gene. Somebody yelling in Dallas because of a victory, or somebody yelling in...
Oh! You mean that? So, Ron, you're talking about where the person reporting the news will play a recording of people cheering or protesting or that sort of thing?
Correct.
Okay.
And also the on the music and arts, it seems like there's a promotion or a quiz question or something distracting from the musical selections almost after each selection.
Yeah, you want to hear more music and less talk on the classical network, and you want to hear more talk and no little snippets of music on the Ideas Network, Ron?
You've got it.
Yeah, so yeah. What about that, Mike?
Well, I have kind of a mixed answer for that. I think that one of the things we're trying to do on the Ideas Network is to sort of spice things up from a sound standpoint. And a lot of people respond to music with the heart as well as the mind. And that can really help people to listen because they're like, oh, I remember that kind of thing. And, there's a reason why a lot of TV shows, radio shows have a kind of a theme in terms of their music, and that's because it will tend to touch the heart as well as the mind. And the one that I think of immediately is, for me at least, when I hear bum bum bum,
yeah.
I know, oh, that's NBC. I know that right away, and so you'll tend to hear that peppered throughout what they do. Can it be too much for some listeners?
I
do understand that. And then with the talk on the music side, that is a constant challenge because, I think that we know people love the quiz, which is something that Ron mentioned, and have a lot of fun with it. But you could go overboard in reminding people, it's the quiz hour, it's the quiz hour. And so I don't think that Norman's changed his behavior on that particular one, so that's interesting, but something that we will try to listen for.
Thank you very much, Ron, for the call. And our next caller is Jean in Sun Prairie. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I've been a longtime listener. We lived in Rhinelander and in La Crosse, and there were certain areas where I had a little trouble with reception. But I was surprised that we've moved to Sun Prairie, and I end up listening to 88.7 FM or 90.7 FM in Delafield, and then there's days that I have a little difficulty with reception. And then driving into Madison, I end up switching to AM. Then when I mentioned in a class of people about Michael Feldman's What Do You Know, and I got a blank stare, like, oh, they don't listen to public radio. They have difficulty getting reception in our area.
Yeah, what's going on in Sun Prairie, Mike? That I know what you're saying, Jean, because I drive that area quite a bit, and you do sometimes have to juggle between stations to get a good one.
Oh, absolutely, and in fact, there are a number of places around the state where that's true. And ironically enough, given it's our home base where WHA started nearly 100 years ago, that there are challenges right here in Madison. The story in Madison is that the AM station is the primary Ideas Network affiliate, if you will, and that is 970 AM. And so if you were to look at our coverage maps, which there's a link on our website at WPR.org, and it says, it's on the right-hand side here, and it says, Station Coverage Maps, Reception, and Tech Issues. And at the bottom of that resulting page, there are the maps for the two networks. So you see a nice big circle for 970 AM, which would cover Sun Prairie quite well and so on. But the little tiny FM repeaters for Madison, 90.9 and 107.9 FM, are really only receivable right when you get into town. And WHAD 90.7, being in Delafield, I think, Gene, you've experienced this, that it can be iffy, and that's because it's far enough away from you, just like the people in the far distance there in Milwaukee, that if you're behind a ridge or something like that, you might get spotty reception of 90.7. Now, I happen to live on the far east side of Madison, not far at all from Sun Prairie, and I get 90.7 great up on the hill, but as soon as I go down the hill on Cottage Grove Road in the morning, it gets a little iffy for me too. And one thing that some people do if they don't mind using a number of their presets on their radio is they put all of the WPR channels they can find on the presets on their car radio, and that does help some. The alternative, which is not available to us right now, would be another big FM signal in Madison, and that's not available. Believe me, if it were available, we'd be trying to get it because it would make a big difference. And we have this in other areas. I had an email come over the weekend from a listener who is in Wittenberg. And unfortunately, Wittenberg is kind of not near any of our signals. And so as he's driving around, he has some challenges listening, very like yours, Gene.
So good luck with that, Gene. If Gene in Sun Prairie would always listen to WHAAM, you'd pretty much hear that all the time in Sun Prairie, though, wouldn't you, Mike?
There's a good chance. That's 89.1 FM. I get good reception there for WHA.
Oh, I'm sorry, WHA, just 970 AM.
Oh. Yeah. Yes, that's true.
No, but when I'm driving back from Madison, I have to switch back to FM, and I get to a certain point where the AM becomes.
And that's in the evening, right?
Yeah, that's like the evening,
Yeah, that's the other challenge with 970 AM and with 930 AM in the center of the state. They're both what they call AM daytimers, which is to say that because of the way AM radio works, they have to turn their power down at night to protect distant stations that have rights to be on all night. So like WTMJ, you can pick that up everywhere at night. I've managed to pick it up at some great distance from Milwaukee, but not not our station.
So really, Mike, we're aware of this situation for Gene, but there's not really a whole lot we can do about it.
No, yeah. Although one of the things that's probably a promise in the not too distant future is this whole idea of internet to your car, where you could just plug in a stream and listen. I know people do that now with their mobile device, where they say you plug in your iPhone to the car, if you have that the little dongle that comes out of the radio to do that, and then you tune in the stream on your phone. And if you're not being charged, you know, lots of money for your data cost, then that's another option. We can't help more with that, Gene.
Sorry, Gene. We are talking with Mike Crane. He is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and this is a New Year's edition of Mondays with Mike. If you have a question for Mike or some feedback for him or a New Year's resolution, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn is with you, and it's another edition of All Things Political. Kathleen and her guest will recap the week's top news stories coming up after 9 o'clock. This is All Things Wisconsin Public Radio with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of the month, but because of the holiday, it's the second Monday of the month this time around. If you have a question about Wisconsin Public Radio programming or operations, it is welcome at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike, here's a comment that came into our Listener Services Center. Please stop using the emergency broadcast protocol every 15 minutes for a girl who went missing with her 21-year-old boyfriend. Nobody cares. I want to talk a little bit about why we run Amber Alerts.
It's an interesting comment to say nobody cares. I understand that certainly some don't, and I get the comment. But Amber Alert is one of those things that was implemented along with the emergency alert system that you hear with the bzz, bzz, bzz things as a way of addressing emergencies. And when an Amber Alert happens, it's going a lot. And it's rarely used because it is only when there's a really heightened level of concern about a lost child is what the Amber Alerts are for, or a possibly kidnapped child is the idea, or somehow otherwise not safe. And I know that in one of the recent cases, it was the Amber Alert that led to recovering the child and leading toward an arrest and so on. So it's tough to argue with that, although I understand how some citizens might.
I think this listener thought perhaps this girl voluntarily ran off with her 21-year-old boyfriend. But you don't decide, Mike, personally, that this is worthy of an Amber Alert. It's the law enforcement authorities.
That's right. And in fact, there are two kinds of alerts that are regularly automated. In fact, you would be surprised, Joy, sitting here. We would not even know, having this conversation, if an EAS alert for a tornado or something went off in some part of the state. And the experience when you're listening to them is that the programming seems to go on and the people on the radio seem to have ignored it. And the reason is that those automated alerts, which are generated by federal, state, or local authorities in the event of emergencies, you know, like the little script says, those are automated specifically so that our public safety people can make that decision, not the radio station. In the case of the weather, of course, we're going to cover a tornado. We're going to do our best to get the news out. But when there's a potential tornado happening near you, the fastest possible method of warning is what we want to give out. That can result, when you get into that tornado season, usually in the spring, in a lot of interruptions in a short time frame if there are a bunch of storm cells nearby. I don't think there's a better method, or probably we'd be looking for that.
Yeah. Our next caller is Teresa in Janesville. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have an idea for programming, and I don't know where you'd fit it. It would be best probably sometime Friday or Saturday. I think you ought to do a three-hour, two-part show. The first hour and a half would be called Retro Teen, or Teen Retro. And what it is you pick a year, and it could be anything that's 20 years or older. And you tell you're basically talking to 12 to 18 year olds, and you're saying, if you were 12 to 18 in this year, this is what was popular. This is what was going on in the news. This is the music people were listening to. These are the television shows people had. These are the things that did not exist that you have that are common. These are things that no longer exist that you have no option of getting to. The second half would be the current teen, where kids could call in and talk about things they want to talk about, things that matter to them. My kids used to call it being trapped by the radio, because I get tired of regular programming. It's not that I don't ever let them listen to it, but sometimes I just, it's just over and over and over and over and over. But every time they listen to NPR, within 5 minutes, we're having a conversation.
Yeah.
And they want to know, they want me to catch them up on what's going on. And they, I mean, we can listen to 5 minutes and talk about it for 2 days.
Yeah, and do you think your teens would feel trapped by the radio if we had this kind of show on, Teresa?
I think if it was, if you let the adults know it's coming, and you just said, okay, kids, try it out for 3 weeks. You know, give us a three-week run. And pick fun years. I mean, not to be weird, if you want to do civil rights, that's great. But at the same time, if you want to do the mania behind the Osmonds and the Jacksons and how that played out and why the area codes, some start with 8 and some start with 2, it's the size of the city and how long the rotary phone took to get all the way back around.
Yeah,
you would have no way of knowing that.
I think it sounds interesting too. We have you ever heard us do talk shows with the authors of the Mindset List, which is sort of what you're mentioning? Where,
I think it needs to be aimed specifically at young people. I have very informed children, but part of that is we talk all the time.
Yeah.
I will go through the newspaper and I will say, okay, this is what the newspaper is missing. Because our newspaper decided to go local. We have one page of national, one page of world news. That is ridiculous.
And
so I will say, this is what you're missing.
What do you think of this idea, Mike?
Well, I actually have a question for Teresa, which is, in our experience, those very same 12 to 18-year-olds are now not even owning radios. So are you successful in getting them to listen to the radio when you're not present?
They will listen. I found Casey Kasem.
Uh-huh.
And he is on Saturdays. And I was listening to it in the car with my daughter, and I turned off the car, and she went, Mom, there's 12 songs left. And it was from 1973. And I was ticked off because I'm going, okay, where is Taya Yellow? Because I was born in, it was 73. I was born in 63, and I knew that song came out when I was 10 years old. And I'm like, where is that song? So I was going to go in and listen to my radio, and she's like, Mom, there are 12 songs left.
Yeah.
So we went and turned, we have three radios in the house. We turned them all on. They were going through the whole house. And the whole time I'm walking around going, this is stupid. I've listened to the whole list and it turned out being number one.
Yeah, and you think this
and
is
my kids were whooping. They were just like, Mom, it's there, it's there, it's there. And I was trying to tell them how good looking Tony Orlando was. And then we had to go to the library and prove it because I don't have internet. And they're like, yeah, he really was good looking. You know, I mean, he was.
So, Teresa, thanks very much. So, Mike, does that answer your question?
It does, sort of. The challenge we're finding, and this is one of the reasons why we go back to the beginning of the show, I said one of our New Year's resolutions is to do more with the net. A lot of people just in the younger group don't own radios, but they do listen to the radio, mm-hmm. either when they're trapped with Mom mm-hmm. or like my son, for instance, he's 21, and if he owns a radio in his apartment, I'd be really surprised because he hasn't had a radio that I know of for quite a while. But he listens to a lot of Car Talk, for instance, because he downloads the Car Talk podcast, and wherever he lives in Florida and so has long drives sometimes, he'll listen to a series of those on his Android phone, and just can talk with me about it. He probably listens to it more than I'm able to because he plans to listen and has it in his device.
Thank you very much, Teresa, for that suggestion.
Yeah, interesting ideas.
Annabelle in Fort Atkinson is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning. I would like to say that I would like to make a favorable comment, but I'm afraid mine is not very. I've been a longtime listener and a longtime supporter, and I am I'm a radio listener. I think that since the flare-up in Madison in February, where the anti-Walker thing really blossomed, I believe that your station, that your talk programs have lost their ability to be neutral on the subject. I think part of it is because I know that that you have had to pay some more money into the system. I think the other part of it is that many of your guest speakers are also connected with the university, understandably. But they also have been affected. So I get the hive idea that that they are more anti-Walker than pro. I find I get tired of listening when I find that that's the kind of program it turns out to be. I switch over to radio.
Well, you mean you switch over to a different radio station?
I go to the I go to listen to music.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Annabelle, I'm sorry you sense that. Is there something that you hear us say or do that makes you think what we're doing is pro-Walker? You don't hear any guests that are, I mean, anti-Walker? You don't hear any pro-Walker guests?
Oh, a few. But no, and it isn't what you say. It's the fact that they are given, you make the announcement that you have not been a part of the union. However, you are part of the system.
All right, you're sensing that we can't, we are not neutral because public employees of Wisconsin Public Radio have been affected by these changes, Mike.
Well, it's an interesting, it's an interesting point, Annabelle. The purpose of our making that announcement is not to indicate that we're for or against anything. It's to do something that's sort of at the core of journalistic ethics, which is when you have even the perception of a possible conflict of interest that you can't avoid, which we can't because we are state workers and we work on the state stations, if you will, that you're supposed to reveal that to listeners, or if it were a newspaper, you'd reveal that to your readers. And so that's why we say it. But I will say that my experience talking to our staff is that the journalists among us really work hard to try to stay right down the middle. We even talk about the idea of there being a muscular middle, if you will, where what we're trying to do in our talk shows and in our news reports is to find what are all of the sides, not just the right and the left, but also the middle, and where is their common ground? That we like to think that the idea of the Ideas Network is that together we can all talk it out and decide what is right for our state. But if we're falling short for you, that is discouraging because it's certainly not what we're trying to do.
Annabelle, thank you very much for the call. I'm certainly going to resolve that I will not be expressing my personal opinions on the air, and I'll ask challenging questions of guests no matter what their political view, and treat guests fairly and in the same manner.
Well, and you know, to the point of the journalistic ethics, it doesn't suggest in the codes from the Society of Professional Journalists or the Radio Television News Directors or anything, it doesn't suggest that reporters are superhuman. In fact, it acknowledges that they're human and that they come to news with their own set of thoughts and ideas. But the idea of you're sitting where you are is that you're going to check your biases at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, that's what you do every day. If not, then, as you say, you need to have that as your resolution to get better at that.
Yeah, and that's what we continually try to do. Annabelle, thanks so much. We have just a minute to go, Mike. We're going to have a lot of political programming this year, so I guess we'll just have to double down, huh?
Yes, indeed. Mm. And I think we would all agree here at WPR that the best possible service we can provide is not to tell you how to think. It's to provide you with the information so you get to decide how to think. That, to us, that's the building of good citizenship. And we have dedicated our careers to it and want to do our best. And so I thank you, Annabelle, for that feedback. And we take it seriously.
Thank you very much, Annabelle, for the call.
And everybody. And,
yeah, everybody. Lots of good points today. Lots of good questions and feedback. We appreciate it. Mike, thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Mike Crane, Director of Wisconsin Public Radio. And if you have have a comment for Wisconsin Public Radio or some feedback, you do not have to wait for this particular hour with Mike Crane once a month, usually the first Monday of the month. You can send that to Audience Services. There's links on our website, WPR.org. You can call Audience Services, 1-800-747-7444. You can send us a snail mail, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Amanda Magnus, and to Rob Ferret for producing this program. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.